The Morro Bay City Council, it is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. We are at the Veterans Memorial Hall. It is 5:30 p.m. We do have a quorum of council members present, and I will call the meeting to order and ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you. And Joe Mueller, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Welcome again, and we do have a great opportunity to recognize, and I'll ask council to join me down in front. We're going to honor one of our longtime businesses in the community that will be leaving our community, but nonetheless, we want to recognize you. So Carla Wiley, are you here? Great. And anybody else that you'd like to join us at the podium, I'd love to present you with this proclamation. Yeah, great, great. Okay.
Not very many, but yeah.
Not very many. Again, welcome. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay recognizing the Cookie Crock for their generous contributions to the City of Morro Bay and its community. Whereas the Cookie Crock is the longest continuously operated, locally owned, independent supermarket on the Central Coast. And whereas Cookie Crock began in 1965 as a Cambria bakery and later evolved into three full-service supermarkets, one each in Cambria, Morro Bay, and Arroyo Grande. And whereas Cookie Crock was recognized in 2013 as Morro Bay's Business of the Year by the Chamber of Commerce. And whereas Cookie Crock for many years provided generous support of our local schools, sports teams, nonprofit organizations, and donations of food to the Morro Bay community dinners held on Monday nights at the Veterans Hall. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the Morro Bay does hereby recognize Cookie Crock for their generous contributions to the City of Morro Bay and its community. We're going to miss you guys,
Thank you.
It's with this that we give you this proclamation, and thanks for many years of service.
Thank you.
Good. You want to have a few words?
Just want to thank everybody. Thank you so much. We loved being in the community. We're not wanting to leave, but life changes and we are leaving. Linda, thank you so much for helping us out, too. And I hope you continue to do a really good job with your dinners, okay? Thank you for what you do for the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is awesome.
Okay, thank you for that. With that, do we have any closed session reports? Mr. City Attorney, pardon me, you're up. Any closed session reports?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. No closed session items to report. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And I'll start to my left with council member reports.
I want to thank the folks that showed up for my office hours to hike Eagle Rock. I think we had an extremely high turnout for office hours. We had 12 to 15 people there, which I hear is possibly a record for office hours, so thank you. And I'll be at Project Surf Camp at Coleman Park on July 25th from 3 to 5. So from 3 to 4, we'll be sort of meet and greet and chat about whatever issues are important to residents. And then at 4 o'clock, the kids come out of the water, and we do sort of the closing ceremony, so the public is welcome to stay for that portion and really see the heart of Project Surf Camp, and then hang out. I'll still be there until 5 o'clock for residents that want to talk about Morro Bay issues. My office hours in August are still TBD, and then I'll be attending EVC tomorrow. So in July, I have an update from EVC.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yes, we have a new boat in the harbor. Larry Newland from the Maritime Museum has brought a P-520 World War II crash rescue boat. I love that it is an Army Air Force boat, which is proof that the services can work together. And it's parked right now between GAFCO and the Harbor Hut. It's going to be open for tours starting July 1st, which is the first day of Patriots Pride Week here in Morro Bay. It will be open for tours from 10 to 5, and you can get tickets across the street at the Maritime Museum. And along with that, don't forget Morro Bay's July 4th celebrations. It's going to be all week. And then, of course, July 4th itself is going to be the big day with the skateboard race, the bike parade, the paddle boat parade from Coleman Park, and then family fun activities all day long at Tidelands Park starting at noon, I believe, including a special appearance by the long-deceased but still great patriot Thomas Jefferson. So it's going to be a good celebration for all of us, a good way to start the summer. So,
thank you, Tom. For those of you who don't know that, are you not playing him this year?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's, but the obviously the community didn't remember it was you last year that Thomas Jefferson.
I was disguised.
I know. That's right, you were.
Also, I want to thank our city manager for bringing comfortable seating to our audience members tonight. And I will have my office hours this coming Saturday at Sun and Buns from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock.
Great. And I had a couple of announcements. One, Project Surf Camp. Fundraising continues. There'll be a barbecue at San Luis Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine in Morro Bay this Friday, June 28th, 12 to, I think it's 5 or 6 p.m. 4? Well, 12 to 4, then. Don't come too late. Opportunity, Bob, I know you were going to get up and say something, but I wanted to beat you to it. A great opportunity to give to a great organization and also enjoy some great food and a lot of good raffle prizes that they're going to have there as well. So don't miss that. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, June 26th at 11 a.m. at the Coast Guard Station is the changing of the guard or change of command that will be there, that ceremony. And so the community is, I believe, invited to that. And that's 11 a.m. at the Coast Guard Station in Morro Bay. Changing of the guard, change of command. Hope to see you there. Councilmember McPherson.
Yes, thank you. I was going to mention the Project Surf Camp fundraiser, but I will mention another fundraiser that's going on the next day. That's Saturday, June 29th. It is a marine swap meet, and you can buy or sell any marine-related devices, boats, surfboards, fishing gear, free admission. There's food. It's from 8 to 2, and it's at the Maritime Museum, and the event proceeds will benefit the Friends of the Harbor Department, so it's a fundraiser for the harbor. And then I also wanted to mention on our current website, there is now a rate calculator because, as you know, the rates for water and sewer are going up in July, and you will notice it on your August bill. And so if you go to the city website, you can find the place where you can calculate what your rates will be. And if you have trouble, contact me because I've figured out how to find that rate calculator. And it's very helpful, and it will prepare you for what's to come. So, I don't have office hours, but anybody can call me at any time, and I'm happy to meet with any citizen to talk about any issue. So that's it. Thanks.
24/7. Just
well,
asking.
You know, the last citizen that called me was 6:30 in the morning. So yes, pretty much.
All right, good. With that, we appreciate those announcements, and we will open up public comment. Anybody that would like to give public comment for items on the agenda
Mayor,
or not?
Mayor, a few
I'm sorry. Oh, City Manager.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
To cut off
Say the
comment.
Least for last. I'm sorry. We had a study session, and
that's very good.
No, the best for last, actually.
Stand
and we had a study
up,
session.
Night.
He was very wordy in that, and yes. Now he's going to make up for it.
Ha-ha.
Scott, sorry about that.
That's okay. So the wharf rate calculator, you can find that going under the main city webpage under Hot Topics, and that'll lead you there. Wanted to let council know and the community know we're moving forward with two entities to fulfill the licensing for cannabis retail in the city. We'll have more information probably next week or so. Want to announce that the police department commander position is nearing being filled. We're in backgrounds with one individual. We've also brought on a deputy city clerk who replaced Lori Kuzma, who left to go to Idaho. But we did bring in an excellent individual and Heather Goodwin, who came from the city of SLO, who was a deputy city clerk there for many years. And I believe Chief Knuckles wants to make an announcement about one of his new hires as well.
Gotcha.
Mr. Mayor,
Steve.
Council, we just hired our new firefighter paramedic. His name is Andrew Schechner. He's a graduate from Templeton High School. He went to Cal Poly, went to the academy in Lompoc at Allen Hancock College. He got his paramedic license down in the Los Angeles area. He served his clinical time at Long Beach Memorial Hospital and his internship at LA City Fire for the town of Culver City. He returned back to our county and got a job with Cal Fire in Avila Beach. He worked for San Luis Ambulance, and we stole them from Cambria Fire Department. Right now, he's completing his 160 hours of orientation. His badge presentation will be on the 17th of July, but I'll introduce him to you on July 9th when we introduce our new engine, 5391.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate that. Again, my apologies to our city manager. Just giving you a bad time.
No,
thank
feelings.
You. So now I will open up public comment. I do have a couple of cards here that have been filled out. I'm going to go through those first. This is public comment for items on the agenda or not on the agenda. Feel free to come forward. I'll start with Dr. Robert Swain. Bob, good to see you. Welcome.
Robert Swain, citizen Morro Bay. And I had a lot to talk about, but Red took all my glory here. I want to talk about the boat also. I'm a member of the Maritime Museum, Morro Bay Maritime Museum. And this is a fundraiser for us. The boat's going to be here for 4 months till the end of the Harbor Fest. And so come on down. Tickets are going to be $6 for adults, $4 for children, 5 to 12. And under 5 is going to be free, but we do like to say if they're unable to walk, they should not come because there's a lot of stairs and they're on a boat. It's narrow and they're steep. So we urge if you're unable to do stairs, you can make donations and we appreciate that. And so, yeah, it's going to come on down. Like I said, we're going to start January 1st. I always see January 1st. Somebody, I don't know. July 1st. I'm ready for a new year. And we always welcome everybody down. And we're looking for volunteers. If somebody would like to help us out on the boat, do tours, we'll open the doors and let you come on in. And it's a quick little, probably 30, 40-minute orientation, and you can be a tour guide. So we appreciate that. Also, as another just a little side note, I was the other day looking on some information, and what it takes to make a roll of toilet paper. Since we're talking about sewer and all that stuff, I thought this might be important. It takes a pound and a half of wood pulp, 20 to 30 gallons of water, and 1.3 kilograms of electricity. And the softer the tissue, the more water it takes. So stop buying Charmin and all that stuff. Get the hardcore stuff. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Remember that in the end. Okay. I have next up is Linda Winters, and I think that's Linda. Do I see you out there? Yes. Mobile Home Park Linda, come on up. She asked me to call her that, folks. I'm not being mean.
It's much better than Trailer Park Linda.
Yes, notice I did it correctly, I hope.
Thank you for cleaning that up.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm told I have to limit this to 3 minutes, and I'm Dawn, I deeply regret I had 3 minutes worth of talking for you, and I so very much appreciated your presentation. By the way, I am Linda Winters, resident of Morro Bay. Dawn put on a wonderful presentation on Thursday, this past Thursday, Women Making Waves. The impression that she left on me is unbelievable. The women that were the keynote speakers were out of this world, and they jogged me into yet another realm that I am about ready to fulfill. Dawn has been working with me as far as affordable housing is concerned, and it came to my attention. And can I put something up on the screen?
Sure, we can get you some help. How about that? So you...
Does this take away
He's
from my 3 minutes?
He's coming out right now. You'll see him appear from behind.
It's
there
two
he
separate
is.
Pages.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you. It came to my attention just yesterday that the governor of California, our illustrious Gavin Newsom, is extremely interested as far as keeping and creating more affordable housing. And we all know that the... mobile home park living is about the last bastion of affordable housing in California. There are 700,000 to a million mobile homes in California, housing approximately 2 million people. GSMOL, which stands for Golden State Manufactured Homeowners League, the ombudsman for mobile home park people, is promoting a write-in campaign to the governor to suggest he looks into saving our homes from being swallowed up by large, greedy corporations. If every single mobile home park owner wrote individual letters to the governor, his desk would collapse. We are asking you to spend 55 cents to gain the governor's attention to save our homes. If you know someone who lives in a mobile home, write a letter on their behalf. Maybe your mother-in-law lives in one in a mobile home. She could be rendered homeless due to greedy landlords. Then where would she live? Please, please write letters as soon as possible. I thank you, Dawn, once again for making me move forward into a new mission. I will remind everybody that we are people here that live in Morro Bay, and this is our home, and we want to be able to keep it for as long as possible. So spend 55 cents, write a letter. We want to pile the governor's desk with all of these letters to say we need to save our homes, and we need for you to pay attention to us. Thank you very much.
And Linda, if you could leave a copy of that with the clerk, then we might have that as reference. Is this okay?
You may have that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Okay.
Next up is David Baldwin. David, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. David Baldwin. I had been here before.
Dave, can you get that mic up to you, please? Sure, thank you.
How's that?
Great. For the viewing public, thanks.
All right. David Baldwin, and I had been here before at some previous meetings, and I have talked with your staff on several occasions along with some other members of the local building trades, craft unions, about the lift station and conveyance and lift station project and the possibility of the city looking into entering into an agreement with the building trades for that work. I just wanted to come tonight to reiterate a little bit of some of the points I made and hopefully keep that at the forefront. I was hoping maybe it would be an item that would be agendized at this point. It hasn't, but I know the folks in the building trades community are certainly eager to have that discussion. For those of you who may not be familiar, these community workforce agreements or project labor agreements, they're sometimes called. They are used up and down the state, and they are a way that cities like Morro Bay or different awarding agencies, might be a county, for instance, school district. It's a way they get their local projects done, their large infrastructure projects, using a local workforce and under an agreement that makes sure that the local workforce has a shot at those jobs. And in the event that an out-of-area, out-of-state employer wins the bids on these jobs, we still know that local workers are going to have a fair shot at working on those projects. So I guess one of the things I kind of wanted to mention is the way we look at it as being a craftsman is that we hope that cities like Morro Bay, when they approach these large projects like this, will go after that with the same vigor that you go after, the dollars that our tourist industry brings in, for instance, here in Morro Bay, which is obviously important, and the city works hard in that regard, and rightfully so. I think a good example is just down the street here on Toro Creek Road. You have a similar size project, $30 million project, was just awarded to an out-of-county contractor from Santa Barbara. I'm familiar with that contractor. They don't utilize the local union hiring halls, so I'm expecting that they will probably bring all or most of their workers from out of the county, and that's hurtful to the area. Those workers don't live here. Their kids don't go to school here. They don't pay taxes here, and that's the exact kind of thing that we're trying to prevent, to make sure that local workers are not left out of the process. I don't know if there's a timer here, how much time I have left.
Your time's up.
Okay, that was perfect then. Okay, well, thank you, and I hope that we'll see this on the agenda soon, and we're happy to talk more about it with any of the staff.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Next up is Brett. I think it's Anderson, if I got it incorrect. I'm sorry. Kind of tailed off at the end there with you. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Welcome, Brett.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you. I'm here again just to talk about the PLA. Union Crafts members, can you stand up or raise your hand? We found out about this last night and thought we'd come by and show support for that PLA. Want you to know that we have some of the best training facilities, best craftsmen, and we take responsibility for everything that we do out there. And we live here. One thing in my years, 26 years, I would say more than half of that was out of town because there was no work here. If we had work here, I could have spent more time with my kids. Of course, I spend the money here, but I also have to spend it out there because I'm traveling. I would rather stay home and be here and enjoy the community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that, Brett. And next up is no clapping, please, if you want to wave. That's our tradition of support. Thank you. Autumn Brown. Autumn, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thank you for hearing us tonight. I also am in support of this community workforce agreement. I'm a journeyman carpenter. I completed my four-year apprenticeship here locally in San Luis Obispo County. I grew up here. I've been in construction for 14 years, earning an area standard livable wage, which has allowed me to remain living here, working here, and spending my money here. I owe this to being a trade and skilled tradesperson, and often to public works projects under CWAs, these community workforce agreements. A benefit to the city is that a local workforce is utilized, contractors are are accountable for wages paid, worker classification, as well as utilizing a skilled and trained workforce. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Autumn. Appreciate that. And next up for public comment is Tyler Shields. I bet you I got that wrong, didn't I?
It's Scheid.
Scheid. You know, I thought that was an L, but thank you.
Tyler, no worries.
Tyler Scheid, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Tyler Scheid. I'm with Smart Local 104, and I've been developing programs here locally for local high school students for pre-apprenticeship programs to get them into the local workforce. And programs like the CWA, I'm very much in support of. It allows high school students and young adults to get into the workforce that didn't have a chance. Myself, I grew up here. You know, I graduated here as well and traveled a lot in my time. But with agreements like these will allow our future to work and spend money here and live here. So I appreciate you guys, and hopefully you guys will consider the CWA. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that. And next up is Carol Swain. Carol, welcome.
My name is Carol Swain. I'm a citizen of Morro Bay. And I want to second all of the three or four speakers who've spoken before me about the project labor agreement. I'm very much in favor of that. These skilled workers are the heart and soul of society, and we would like to provide for them in their place of residence as much as possible. So I'm 100% in support of that. The other thing I want to say just really quickly is congratulations to all of us, particularly you who did the heavy lifting to get the okay on the state, is it SRF, State Revolving Fund. So congratulations. Good job. I spent about 6 hours today filling out my paperwork for the real ID, thinking this is nothing compared to what you guys did. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's the last of my speaker slips. Oh, we have another one that's going to fly up here, I think.
Sorry about that. Should have
come on
that slip.
Up, yeah.
Hello, Erica Cropper.
Welcome, Erica.
Thank you. With the Chamber, thanks for having me, Mayor, Council, City staff. I just wanted a quick update on this Women Making Waves. We were really excited about it. Just a little update outcome report. And publicly thank and acknowledge those who made the event possible, so speakers such as Councilmember Don Addis and our amazing panel, regional panel. We had local Morro Bayans, and we also had people from the county. Local hosts like Dr. Pruitt from the high school and Liz Moore from the San Luis Coastal Unified District, and the many attendees. We had almost 75 people attend this very first event. Various community leaders from the private and public sector, and quite a few students, and they were of all genders. We're reminding the public that this event was the first in a series to come over the next 13 months leading up to the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote. We are looking to celebrate women in the arts and entertainment fields in October, date TBD, and then we'll highlight various industries over the course of the next 13 months. And then I just wanted to remind and invite the business community to a no-cost seminar on new retail strategies that's happening tomorrow. This is a co-hosted event with the Mission Community Services Corporation / Women's Business Center. It will be tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Morro Bay Golf Course. The speaker is Jules DeRocher. She owns the downtown slow-based Jules D. Men's Clothing Boutique. The event will be live streamed on Facebook because people work between 4 and 6 o'clock if they can't make it and they're in their store. And then they'll be stored on the Chamber's Facebook page for future reference. In face of increasing cost of doing business in Morro Bay, the Chamber is hoping and looking forward to providing more demand-driven business education over the next year. We are looking to pull in education that is demand-driven on cost control, preparing for business investment and reinvestment, and marketing with partners like SCORE, the Women's Business Center, and the SBDC. And if anybody wants to join our mailing list, you're actually more than welcome to. Don't have to be a Chamber member. I heard from a few community members say, hey, I would have gone to that Women Making Waves. I didn't know about it. So if you send an email to info@morrochamber.org and request to be added to our mailing list, you're more than welcome to do so. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Erica. It was a great event. So that's the last of my speaker slips, but public comment is open for anything either on the agenda or not on the agenda. Bob, welcome.
Mayor, council members, staff, and Morro Bay citizens. My name is Bob Keller, resident of Morro Bay. I'm a volunteer for Project Surf Camp. Been volunteering for many years. It's one of my favorite volunteer programs, and it makes my day, believe it. Project Surf Camp is a charitable organization designed to educate individuals with special needs. Our mission is to build self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-efficiency. We further provide opportunities to build social skills, improve physical fitness, develop healthy outlets for stress reduction, and foster independence. Outcomes are achieved through the surfing, paddleboarding instructions on the beach, and aquatic activities in Morro Bay. So anyway, we're having a barbecue this Friday, and it starts with a blood drive at 11 a.m. We have a big mobile truck there that'll take your blood, and also there is a chance to win a prize if your name is drawn, if you're lucky enough. And anyway, the barbecue starts at 12. The whole community comes out and supports this. And we have numerous prizes. You can see them up on the screen. And probably some of our best prizes are a huge paddleboard with all the stuff that goes with it, 55-inch TV, flat screen TV, two bicycles, and numerous other prizes that more than exceed the $5 ticket you would buy for a raffle. You can buy as many as you want. But there is no commitment to buy raffle tickets. We want everybody to come out for the barbecue and just have a good time in Morro Bay and join your fellow Morro Bay citizens. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Public comments open for items on the agenda or not on the agenda. Welcome, Betty.
Hi again, my name is Betty Winholtz. I want to talk about a safety issue, a health issue, and an announcement. The health issue is down at the Rock on both the north side, well, primarily the north side. I was down there about a week or so ago, and all the trash cans have been removed, and you have to go up to the dumpster by the bathroom in order to get rid of your trash, and there, are, of course, is no recycling. And there was a post in the middle of where all the rocks have been laid as you look at the beach to the north that said, please dispose of your trash, and, of course, it was piled up with trash. I don't know why all the trash cans have been removed down at the Rock. I know that State Parks removed their trash cans when they closed the gate on the south side of the Rock. And I would like to have our trash cans back. I think it's an unhealthy situation. Secondly, at the corner of Radcliffe and Main, where they're building a sidewalk, which has been in the process for several weeks, I saw a woman try to negotiate that in a wheelchair, and she had to literally go out in traffic to get around that. And I'm wondering what's going on, how long it will be going on, and when we can understand that that will be completed. That was a real safety issue. And the announcement is that the Coastal Commission will be here in our sewer plant. You didn't announce that, so I'll go ahead and announce that on July 11th. It's a Thursday. They don't give specific times, but it will probably be around 1 o'clock after lunch would be my guess, since the Oceano Dunes are right before that. And they'll probably take most of the morning. So encouraging the community to come out and speak their mind, since it's their only chance to have a real hearing, unlike the input sessions, which aren't recorded or passed on. So I hope people will come at 1 o'clock to the Embassy Suites on July 12th, Thursday. And just related to that, I was curious to hear the union people come out tonight and ask you to favor them on this project, because when I was at the Board of Supervisors, when they voted on their consolidation, the union was there in support of this project, and it sounded like, from what Mayor Hedian had said, that this was all part of the deal. So I'm surprised they have to come and ask, because it appeared at the County Board of Supervisors that this was already part of the deal.
Betty, correction on the date. The date is for the Coastal Commission is Thursday the 11th.
Did I say 12?
You said 12.
Yeah, sorry.
I just want to make
Thank
sure
you.
People know that. You bet. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Public comment still open. Welcome, Barry.
Good evening, Mayor. Barry Brannon, citizen of Morro Bay. I'd like to repeat a request that I've made 3, 4, five times. And in the agenda meeting tonight, there's presented a City of Morro Bay Sewer System Management Plan. And the mission statements and goals, I think, are very interesting. And it's the primary one. It says, cost-effectively minimize inflow and exfiltration, and provide adequate sewer capacity to accommodate design peak wet weather flows. We have been paying into the fund to repair the sewer pipes. There have been no RFPs put out at this time to repair any pipes. It has nothing to do with where you build a new sewer. All of the existing pipes need to maintain. You have a capital improvement projects with maps on where the problems are. An RFP to do this work. If you do it now, you're not going to get any bids for at least 90 days. And I hate to see everything torn up in the middle of winter. So these bids should have been out some time ago. I urge you to ask to get those RFPs out now so we can capitalize on the good weather. Because if we're going to tear up Main Street and Beachcomber, even though you don't have to open excavate, this is the time to get the bids out. So I'm requesting again, at least my fourth request, to please put out some RFPs to schedule this work. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Public comment is still open. Any members of the public wishing to come forward for any items on the agenda or not on the agenda? Please do so now. Looking around, seeing none, I will close public comment. And we're on the consent agenda, item A1 through A9. Any items to be pulled?
I'd like to pull A7.
A7, okay.
And like A9.
And I'd like to pull A4.
A4, A7, and A9.
I don't want to pull any, but sometimes we ask for responses to public comment.
Right.
Is that after this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not pulling anything.
I'm going to try to get it all in.
Okay.
A4, A7, A9. So I had A... Yeah, I just asked for that, and that was public comment on consent. I specifically asked for it. That's okay. You can come back. I said for any items on the agenda or not on the agenda, including consent. But come on, Betty. It's okay.
I would like to address A4. It's about the SSO or the sanitary sewer overflow with Mr. Brannon. Was just referring to. I think people probably don't know what that is. And an SSO is an overflow, a spill, a discharge, or a diversion of untreated or partially treated wastewater from a sanitary sewer system. And it's considered a Category 1. And this is something that's been brought to the city's attention for a couple of years by a variety of people. And that is exactly what was spoken of a minute ago, was that our pipes are not in good shape, and that, to me, that is an SSO, and that it's when the weather is dry and things are, as the earth changes, we get that outflow, which is a sewer discharge. And so I'd like to know how and when this is going to be addressed, because in the report, which is a mandatory report, it doesn't say that anything's going to be done. It merely says this is what could be done, this is how it's done, but it never says that the city is going to do it. And in fact, when you've talked about the WRF, you've talked about increasing the size of the plant so you won't have to deal with replacing the pipes. So that just doesn't make sense to us out here. And so we would like for those pipes to be fixed. The money was supposedly allocated in 2008 during the first 2018 vote that we had when I was on council. And every time since, they've talked about that money, but the money's never been spent.
Thank you. Again, I'll open it up again for items on the consent agenda. Anybody else would like to come forward? Keep it open. Seeing none, I'll close that again and bring it back to council. We do have several items to pull, and we will address a couple of issues that are related to that have been asked by the audience. First of all, A4. Councilmember Davis.
I pulled it because we had received an email with some questions about it, so I just wanted Joe Mueller to explain the issues related to that.
Joe, you want to come up to the mic and And then you might address the questions that were asked. I think Ms. Weinholz also asked a question about that just now. And I was looking back to see if anybody else had. No. Barry Brannon had. Mr. Brannon also. So.
Yeah, and the sewer system management plan, one thing to note on that is that's an operational document that is used daily by the operators to actually, you know, control sanitary sewer overflows and to eliminate them as best that they can possibly do as they operate the system. Now, something like a sewer system management plan, master plan, or our one water plan, that's actually the plan for repairing and replacing those pipes. But as far as when we do identify problem areas, we do have actually an RFP on the street right now to replace a section of line that we have identified, you know, in the operations that actually closes tomorrow. So we will be replacing some a section of line right now up on Juniper.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Did that?
I'm going to add a little
questions?
Bit
sure,
to that.
Please.
As we previously talked about, the 2015 rate increase included budgetary numbers for system management, but didn't identify programs. It took our one water plan to identify the necessary improvements that to be made. We've now programmed three large projects that encompass the first 5 years of improvements, starting with this year's budget. So we won't be sending out an invitation to bid right away. We need to do design work first. So design work will be followed by an invitation to bid. So an RFP, probably for a designer, will go out, and then an invitation to bid to make those improvements in probably next year's budget will go out. So that's where we sit on the improvements necessary for the that are identified through the sanitary sewer management plan.
And is there a schedule available for that that somebody could refer to on the website?
It's actually embedded in our budget, so it has the schedule in the budget.
CIPs?
In the CIP list? Yes.
Okay. And so that's within the budget. They could look at it there, find out each of the phases, correct?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Item A7, Red.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask a question about the pump station that's going to be constructed next to Lemos in the parking lot. This is, I think when you first proposed it, you showed us a rendering, and it looks like an industrial restroom. And I wonder if there was something that we could do to beautify that building, since this is one of the primary gateway routes into our city. The architect who designed the Lemos building has said that he is willing to work pro bono to help us with a concept design that would help to match the pump station building to the Lemos building, and I wonder if this was something that we could entertain.
Definitely. So we would take Clint up on his offer to help out with that. We also have a architect on with the design team that would be involved in that, so I'm assuming that they would work together on that design. The preliminary sketches that were shown were representational of what a lift station could look like. It was more for siting purposes than to that final design. So Waterworks Engineers is working towards 60% design. After that, we'll probably finish up the architectural work on once the alignment hydraulics are completed.
Okay.
So definitely we'll work with Mr. Iwanaka on that
okay.
design.
Thank you. And we also have an offer from Chris Peterson at Forever Stoked to paint a mural on the side of it. Is that something that could be part of the project, or is this something that has to go through a mural committee?
There's a public art process that the city has, so it would need to go through that public art process.
Okay.
I think it could go parallel with the project, though.
Okay. And do we have a date when we think we're going to actually turn dirt for the new new wharf site?
We don't have a precise date. We have a Coastal Commission date when we'll get our permit for that. Likely, it's going to be near the end of August, first part of September, before we start moving dirt.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. I also pulled that item. Two reasons. One, Betty, thank you for reminding us, but I had it here. On July 11th, we will be going before the California Coastal Commission for our permit for the new wastewater treatment facility, and that will be at the Embassy Suites. Certainly any member of the public wishing to give public comment is invited to that. We're not sure exactly where we are on the agenda. Eric, do we have any confirmation about potential timing for public notification that we could help our public with?
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Eric Caceres, the city's WRF program manager. There are 14 to 15 items on the agenda for the 11th, and we are number in the group of 13 for new permits. So I would anticipate, especially with some of the discussions that we've had with Coastal staff, that it's going to be pretty late in the afternoon of the 11th.
And the end of that meeting is, do they have a sure stop time on their meetings?
I'd have to look at the agenda on the website. I don't recall okay. if it has a hard end date.
So most likely end of the day, but folks, if you really want to be there, you may want to be for the whole day just in case things move quickly, which is probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't want you to miss the opportunity if you had that. So
yeah, they have some big items on the agenda.
Indeed.
Especially some of the early items on the agenda.
So. Right. Thank you for that. And that's July 11th again, Thursday, Embassy Suites. In San Luis Obispo, late in the agenda, but be there when you can if you want to give testimony with regard to that. Second reason I pulled this is I wanted to give my congratulations to staff for the excellent work that you did with regard to our SRF funding application, the scoring. We had an opportunity, myself, our city manager, our program manager, Mr. Livick went to the end, and Councilmember Davis, forgot, he didn't ride with us, but went to the Water Board, State Water Board, and were able to testify there, and we did, we were mandated to be included on the IUP for $100 million SRF, up to $100 million SRF loan, and then a $5 million grant. Now, we haven't received that loan yet, there's a process for that, but that's all good news, but I really wanted to call out the efforts of staff, especially the project management team that was involved with that and making that happen. So thank you for that, and that's good news for our community. As you know, your council will be looking at rates once we get final confirmation of receiving those funds, and as they flow in, we're actually going to have the rates reevaluated, and we'll come back hopefully with a reduction. So with that, that's A7, and then I also have A9.
Yes. I want to thank staff for preparing a computer disaster recovery plan, but I wanted to ask also, Scott, if Steve is working on a plan on how to deal with ransomware, either how to protect ourselves or how to recover from some sort of attack for ransom.
Right. No, this is a unfortunately happening in a lot of jurisdictions where cities are or agencies are forced to either pay up or have their systems locked by hackers. Obviously don't understand all the computations that go into that, but this is a pretty serious threat to any community, really. So we're looking internally what we can do. This involves more than IT. Obviously there's risk management that probably needs to look at this as a potential threat and how we can best prepare ourselves for that. But this is kind of a rapidly evolving thing that just recently has started to spring up and across the nation.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that. I've seen several cities have been hit, including Atlanta, and then also including some very small towns who were asked for an $8,000 ransom. So I would encourage staff to reach out to other cities and see what they're doing for benchmarking. So thank you.
Thank you for that. With that, I will take a entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Roll call vote. Or any further discussion? Not. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Heading?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
Good. So I'm mixing things up tonight, as you could probably tell. And there were a couple of items that were not covered in the consent agenda that I'll just ask staff to address questions during public comment. First, had to do with the issue at the Rock again with trash. Is there an update? Are we looking into that? And I know we're looking into it. What's the current status of that and the concern that was raised?
So, as Councilwoman remember, when we discussed this before, we removed the trash cans from the Rock based on the serviceability of those existing trash cans, or the big bellies, were unserviceable. They were electronic and rusting away. The older trash cans just weren't working out there. We placed dumpsters and recycling containers near the restroom and asked people to remove their trash and take it to those areas. With the exception of over the last, and this is, we removed the trash cans, I believe, over 2 years ago from the Rock, along the perimeter of the Rock. With the exception of large events, our staff has noticed really not a lot of trash that needs to be policed up in the morning. But when there is an event out there or a busy weekend, we do notice trash that people don't want to pack out. So we're looking into alternatives to that. We did get a lot of kudos for removing those trash cans because they're impediment to viewing, walking along there. The seagulls were in the trash cans all the time. So the trash cans are a balancing act at the Rock, and we're trying to find what that balance will be.
Radcliffe and Main issue?
Radcliffe and Main, that is a project that was a condition of approval for the placement of the temporary storage containers there at that corner. And they made the sidewalk improvements on the Radcliffe side about a year ago and have been working with Caltrans on an encroachment permit. The Main Street side is actually within Caltrans's right of way. So they're working under a Caltrans encroachment permit there. I've noticed the Caltrans encroachment permit inspector there, and they're the ones that required that pedestrian bypass around the site. So it's a kind of a wooden boardwalk area that allow people to navigate through there. I guess maybe it's not working as well as expected, but I'll relay that information to the Caltrans permits engineer.
Thank you, Rob, for that. Appreciate it. And then last would be, Scott, an update on possibly when the PLA consideration might come before council. I think that was the other thing.
Sure. Yeah, the city council in establishing the goals and action items related to the goals designated local hiring as a topic of interest to pursue. And we expect to bring that back either in July or August. That's our goal. Probably more likely in the July time frame.
Thank you.
Could you clarify the acronyms?
PLA. Project Labor, Project Labor Agreement.
Or CWA, I heard.
Or Community Workforce Agreement, Benefit Agreement.
Something like that. Okay. And all of, just to clarify.
Sure, yeah.
Either or both of those would come back July 9th?
Yes, but the overarching goal is local hire, and then we'll be bringing forward an agenda item that includes evaluation of PLAs, CWAs, and other other methods.
In response to the question on the nomenclature, community workforce agreements and project labor agreements are essentially the same thing, and they're just different names for the same mechanism for union work on public works projects.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay.
With that, that will move us to item B1. These are public hearings. Public hearing item. We'll start with the staff report. Move to council questions during public hearing. Then I'll open the public hearing formally. Thank you. Ask for any residents of the assessment district who want to speak or members of the public to comment. Then further questions from council. I'll close the hearing and then have discussion and motion. And so with that, item B1 is adoption of the resolution 51-19 directing the levy of the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscaping and Lining Maintenance Assessment District. Turn it over to Mr. Leivick for a brief report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Rob Leivick, Public Works Director. The Cloisters Landscape Lighting Maintenance Assessment District levy is on your agenda tonight as a public hearing. The assessment district was formed in 1996 as a condition of the development. It provides for the maintenance of the parks, open space, the medians, and parkways. One of the longer-term projects we're working on out there is review of the improved landscaped area for rehabilitation. I've had a couple meetings, one with our PWAB group and one last Friday afternoon out at the park site, and about 20 or so residents attended that meeting to discuss with one of our staff members the plan that's being developed. On May 14th this year, Council adopted Resolution 3319, approving the engineer's report and describing the maintenance described the maintenance to be performed, and declaring the city's intent to levy the annual assessment to finance that maintenance. The levy is $1,241.20 per parcel annually for a total of $148,944. Expenditures approved in the 1920 budget and as delineated in the engineer's report include approximately $88,000 for salary and benefits, $2,000 for supplies, $40,000 for services, including utilities, and about $19,000 transfer to the capital reserve for the project. Staff recommends that we conduct this final public hearing and adopt Resolution 5119, approving the levy for the annual assessment for the Cloisters Lighting, Landscaping, and Maintenance Assessment District for fiscal year 2019-20. That concludes my staff report, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rob. Any council questions for staff at this time on this item? Seeing none, great. I will open up the public hearing and invite any members of the assessment district who would like to come forward and or public members at this time for public comment. Please do so. And I do have Dawn's card. Dawn, welcome. Dawn Beatty.
Do you have also a copy of what I was going to say? Because
I do.
Not always that understandable. Greetings, Mr. Mayor, City Council, staff, folks watching home. Every year, I try to use this opportunity to point out that the Cloisters Park and surrounding open space is public. Its maintenance is paid for entirely by Cloisters homeowners. It says there, the original legal document deeding this area to the city set forth a condition for the developer to form an assessment district, which is to maintain all the public land prior to the issuance of the building permits to build the Cloisters homes. This happened, and the homeowners have been paying to maintain this area for the last 20 years. The condition went on to state that this requirement shall be modified when an entity acceptable to the city assumes ownership responsibility. This has not happened, and perhaps this time it does. For instance, last year, it was pointed out that the Cloisters Park playground equipment no longer meets code and needs to be replaced. As our deferred maintenance fees are limited and the playground equipment doesn't benefit homeowners, It's not something the homeowners support replacing. So, bottom line, after all these years of the closest homeowners paying the full amount to maintain the city-owned public property, we'd like to see the city get some skin in the game and join us in paying for something that benefits far more than just the homeowners. Thank you for listening and for all you do. And by the way, those chairs are awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other members of the assessment district would like to come forward for public comment? If not, any general members of the audience like to come forward for public comment? Then, seeing that, I will close public comment and ask if council has any specific questions from the member of the assessment district that came forward for comment. Any questions for Dawn? None? Okay, no questions. So with that, I will close the public hearing, bring it back to council for either discussion and or motion. I'd entertain a motion if you're so inclined.
I move that the council adopt resolution number 51-19 approving the levy of the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District for fiscal year 2019 and 20.
Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Davis for the staff recommendation, second by Councilmember McPherson. Any discussion? If not, roll call vote.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda item B2. This also is a public hearing. Same format. I'll start with the staff report. This is adoption of resolution number 52-19 directing the levy of the annual assessment for the North Point Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. With that, Mr. Livick, thank you for your report, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor, Council. This is, as you said, the North Point Landscape Lighting and Maintenance Assessment District. This was formed in 1997 as a condition of the North Point development. It provides maintenance for the open area and parking lot. Besides the general maintenance the city performs, we're currently working on review for improved lighting and access to the open space area. At the May 14th, 2019 City Council meeting, Council adopted resolution number 34-19 approving the engineer's report that describes the annual maintenance and declared their intent to levy the annual assessment to finance the district. The levy for this assessment district is annually $564.50 per parcel for a total of $5,645 per year. Expenditures in our budget and as delineated in the engineer's report include approximately $4,000 for salary and benefits, $500 for supplies, $500 for services including utilities, and about a $1,000 transfer to its capital reserve fund. With that, staff recommends the City Council conduct the public hearing and approve the levy of the annual assessment by adopting resolution number 52-19. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Livick. Any questions from Council regarding the staff report? Seeing none, I will open up the public hearing and ask at this time if there are any members of the assessment district who would like to come forward for public comment. Please do so. Looking around, seeing none. Any general members of the public wanting to come forward, please do so. Welcome, Betty.
Thank you, Betty Winholtz again. I did hear Mr. Livick mention the last time that they were looking at lighting out there. I don't know if he means the street lighting in front of the homes or if he means lighting for the natural area. I'm hoping and I am opposed to lighting in the natural area as we don't light other parks like Monty Young and others, and that's just another expense that would be added. I don't think we want to encourage lighting out there, but I don't know if he's speaking to the street lighting or the natural area lighting.
You may just want to clarify. Thank you, Betty.
It is security lighting for the parking lot. Came from the request from the neighborhood because sometimes folks come down there in the evening time and interesting things might happen without the lighting.
Okay. Any other members of the public wishing to come forward on item B2? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Any questions from council regarding public comment? None? Okay. With that, I will close the public hearing, bring it back to council for discussion, and I'll entertain a motion.
I move that the council adopt resolution number 52-19, directing the levy of the annual assessment for the North Point Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember McPherson to move the staff recommendation, second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 401.
Thank you. That completes that public hearing item. We'll move to item B-3. This also is a public hearing. To report on delinquent solid waste collection accounts and adopt resolution number 53-19, authorizing San Luis Obispo County Assessor to assess amounts due on delinquent solid waste collection accounts as tax liens against the properties. Thank you, Mr. Leivick. You're up again for the third time. Welcome back.
And we'll turn it over to Ms. Burlingame, who's going to give a brief presentation and answer any questions.
Janine, I didn't see you back there, but glad you're here. Thanks.
Thank you and good evening. The city's municipal code, section 8.16.385, addresses delinquent solid waste accounts that are held by the city's franchisee, Morro Bay Garbage Service, and also defines a methodology related to the collecting of those debts, which includes several activities that the garbage company does, which is to prepare a list of all solid waste accounts that have delinquent fees that are 120 days past due, and then sending certified letters to each one of the property owners for those garbage accounts and notifying them of the delinquent fees and giving them a 45-day period and date with which to they're requesting to have those payments due. And they, once that due date passes, then they prepare a second list of any properties that are still delinquent and outstanding, and it's that list that they then submit to the city so that the city can follow its process to move forward with getting those liens assessed on the property through the taxes from the county assessor. So the garbage company had done all of their activities and on May 3rd had submitted that list to the city. There were two property addresses that were still outstanding, and those are roughly in the middle of the page 228 of your staff report in the agenda packet. The APN numbers and the dollar amounts are included therein. And the state has a government code with some methodology or some activities that the city is supposed to do in order to be able to collect on the garbage fees and the delinquent accounts. And that entails that a report be prepared once a year that's presented to the city council, that a public hearing is set, a date and time and location is set, and that any of the property owners who are on that report for those delinquent fees, that they are sent a certified letter within 10 days of the public hearing to notify them of the public hearing, that their property is on that list with the dollar amount, and it gives them the opportunity to provide any objections or protests to the report. And so the city has gone and done that. We took the list from the garbage company. When we were preparing the letter before we sent it off, we confirmed on June 13th that the two accounts, the two properties that were listed in the original report on May 3rd, if they were still outstanding or if any payments had been made subsequent to when the report was submitted to the city. both accounts were still outstanding, so the city sent the letter, the certified letter, to the two property owners. And to date, I have not heard either through a phone call, voicemail, or through the mail, or coming in person into the city from either of the property owners with regard to the hearing or the amounts that were due on the solid waste accounts. I contacted the garbage company later this afternoon just to make sure that between the time that the staff report was written and the letters were sent out a week ago, a little more than a week ago, that if payment had been received by either one of the property owners, and they had not. So the two accounts that are listed in the report, in the staff report, still remain as outstanding, and staff is requesting that those be assessed for the amounts that are listed therein. The city's municipal code also allows for an administrative fee to be assessed on those delinquent fees for the garbage accounts, and those are to be used for costs associated with the processing of the liens with the county assessor's office. So a 2% administration fee has been added on to the amounts that were provided to the city from the garbage company, and those are listed on that same page 228 of your staff report. And those are the amounts that will be in the resolution that that staff is requesting be assessed. So with that, staff is recommending the City Council conduct a public hearing to receive the report on delinquent solid waste collection fees, hear any objections or protests to the report, and to adopt resolution number 5319 to confirm the report and authorize the delinquent fees assessments due against tax liens against the respective properties, and authorizing the county assessor's office to do so. With that, I'll turn it over for any questions and a motion.
Thank you, Janine. Appreciate your work and your report. Any council questions for staff on the staff report?
I just have one question. Do we have any idea about why they have not paid? Has there been any? Is there any indication from the garbage company?
No, they just have not received payment.
Okay, so we don't know. No, all right, thanks.
Great. Any other questions? No. If not, I'll open the public hearing and ask that if any members of the APN or if either of the APN owners are here and wish to comment at this time, I'll open it up for public comment. For you first, looking around, seeing none. Any members of the general public wishing to comment on this agenda item B3, please do so now. Seeing none, I will close public comment, and I will close the public hearing, bring it back to council, and entertain a motion or discussion.
I move that council adopt resolution number 53-19 to confirm the report on delinquent solid waste collection fees, so as to authorize the delinquent fees as assessments due as tax liens against the respective properties.
Motion by Councilmember Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember McPherson, moving the staff recommendation. Any further discussion? If not, roll call vote.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 401.
Thank you. That concludes our public hearings for this evening. We'll move to our business items. First up is item number C-1, and this is a review of progress from Central Coast Aquarium for the potential future of Morro Bay Aquarium by introduction. You'll recall that, over 3 months ago, at the March 12th meeting, council took action to move forward with consideration of partnering with Central Coast Aquarium for a new aquarium project. We asked for routine quarterly reports from Ms. Johnson, their executive director. We're glad to have her here this evening. And with that, Ms. Johnson, welcome. And I'll let Mr. Collins open up if you want, and sure, then invite you up for your presentation. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor and Council members. So the City Council approved the city work moving forward with Central Coast Aquarium on March 12th, 2019, and had four distinct four distinct check-in periods following 90 days. The first would be at this date a concept philanthropic plan to present to council. The 180 days is a business marketing plan. 270 days would be a concept philanthropic plan update, and then a final report at the end of the year. City Council also formed a subcommittee for this effort, Mayor Heading and Councilmember Addis, to participate on the task force to assist CCA in their philanthropic efforts. City staff also participating in those discussions. Since that time, CCA has engaged in numerous activities to help support this effort, also reaching out to Cal Poly, doing some initial work in terms of concept plans and understanding what it would take to bring those efforts to fruition, both looking at an architectural rendering, but also internally what would make most sense for a facility of that size in terms of the offerings to the public and Cal Poly and others who may use the facility for research or educational purposes. In addition, while CCA was moving forward on those efforts, they also paused to take a stock of the option to maybe participate in the Market Street Plaza redevelopment with two interested developers. That did take some time to vet if that made sense. Ultimately, CCA determined that location and the size that may be available was less than ideal in comparison to the existing site that their preference is. And so the board made the decision to continue forward, but that took about a month or so of time out of their ability to focus on efforts on the existing aquarium site. But they have raised about $19,000 to assist in the concept development, both the architectural rendering inside and then on the outside and then on the inside for kind of utilization of that space. That's a very important step to develop that plan so that they can go forward to donors, potential donors, to help and assist with the capital campaign. They anticipate the total cost for that effort would be about $38,000, and to date have raised about $19,000. The CCA executive director met with the subcommittee from council and to talk about the efforts underway, but also recommended or asked for a letter of support to assist them in their fundraising efforts. And the subcommittee on behalf of council agreed to do that, but we wanted to make that noted here in the staff report. The next steps for CCA include completing fundraising for the exhibit and architectural design plan, and then pulling together stakeholders to participate in a SHREDS exercise, really to take that the exhibit hall to the next level, really make sure that it's going to make sense for those users that may use that in the end. Once that plan is completed, it'll be presented to City Council for review and really serve as the basis for the capital campaign. So that concludes my brief staff report. There are attachments within the staff report include a more detailed update from CCA and then also the proposals for the concept designs. So I'll turn it over to Christine Johnson if she wants to add anything to that. Doesn't look like it.
Is that a no?
Okay.
Covered.
If not, that's fine. You covered
it. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and of course Christine can as well.
Right, and I will just add for subcommittee, and Don, certainly you can add too. We've had individually and then together as a subcommittee a number of meetings with Ms. Johnson regarding progress, and we were fully aware as a city of her pausing to take a look at the possibility of considering the Marketplace Plaza as a potential, not additional, but other site with regard to the aquarium. That, as our city manager said, took a number of weeks, if not a month or longer, to fully vet. I appreciate the time that you took to do that. We concurred that that was a viable potential opportunity, and looking at that, for a number of reasons, it did not bode well and did not make sense, both, I think, for the city and also for CCA. And so just noting that as a result of that, there may be less information regarding some of the work that needed to be done at this juncture because of that work stoppage. And so thank you for that. Don, did you want to add anything with regard to the meetings you had?
Yeah, I just want to compliment the CCA director for the progress that has been made, even given that pause. I think in that staff report, there's the report from CCA that outlines the number of meetings and the specific things that have been done, the fundraising that has been done to date that I think really bodes well for this project. I'm excited to see next steps. I was down there at the site for one of the meetings envisioning what could happen at that space and what it could be like on the Embarcadero and the different things that could happen for our community and for visitors in our community. And I would really encourage those of you that are watching to think about what a redeveloped site could do and could look like for Morro Bay. And so I just can't wait to see what it might look like inside and out. I think that's a good next step for us, and I can't wait for it to happen.
Great. With that, I'll open it up for any council questions of staff and or Ms. Johnson.
I had a number of questions that were answered, and so I appreciate the effort to answer my questions. Mostly I was concerned about where we were at and how much ultimately the design phase was going to cost. And so those questions have been answered, so I appreciate that.
Any other questions at this time? Seeing none, I'll just comment again. Thank you for the work you've done. It's exciting to see the proposal that you have with regard to concept design to really begin to flesh things out, so to speak, in terms of the proposed scope and how this might look. Thanks for the work that you continue to do. And just know from the subcommittee standpoint, we're available to you as needed to get together and meet with any potential donors. And I believe we have an upcoming meeting potentially with your board also to have a meeting to discuss the project in more detail. So thank you with that. This is receive and file. If there are no other questions, we will receive and file. None? Okay. Thank you,
public
Christine,
comment.
For being here. Appreciate it.
Public comment.
I'm forgetting that tonight, aren't I? Any members of the public wishing to come forward regarding item C1, please do so now. The mic is open. Sorry about that, folks. Looking around, seeing none, I will close public comment, bring it back, and then make the comment. This is for receiving and filing, and we will do so. Thank you again, Christine, for being here. Appreciate that. Okay. With that, we will move to item number, I believe it's C2. If I can find the right page here on the back. There we go. This is adoption of Resolution 54-19 and 55-19, authorizing filing of two separate applications with LAFCO to commence proceedings for, one, a sphere of influence, designation, and annexation of the 27.6-acre property that the city will be purchasing from Tri-W for the construction and operation of the water reclamation facility, and two, a sphere of influence designation for the remaining portion of the Tri-W property the city is not purchasing. I'm looking at the clock thinking maybe it might be a good time for a biologic break. Seeing heads nod, we will take about a five-minute bio break, be back at 7 for this item. Thank you. Hey, folks, we are back and live. Item number C2. With that, I will turn it over to, let's see, our city manager. No, excuse me, our... who's presenting? Mr. Let me get here. There it is. Okay, Mr. Casares, I see you out there in the audience somewhere. Oh, there. Okay, you moved. You were over there. I will turn it over to Mr. Casares, our program manager, for this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Eric Casares, the city's work program manager, here to talk about item C2. Thank you for having me here tonight. I have a brief presentation prepared. Item C2 is the adoption of resolutions number 54-19 and 55-19, authorizing the filing of two separate applications with the Local Agency Formation Commission, or LAFCO. What we're asking here tonight is that the City Council adopt Resolution 5419, authorizing staff to file a combined application for a sphere of influence designation and annexation of the 27.6-acre site. The city is planning on purchasing from Tri-W for the construction and operation of the new water reclamation facility. In addition, we're also asking the City Council adopt Resolution Number 5519, authorizing staff to file an application with LAFCO for a sphere of influence designation for the remainder of the approximately 372.4-acre remainder of property owned by Tri-W, herein referred to as the Tri-W remainder parcel. This may look familiar to you. We are asking for these things in part because of a requirement of the memorandum of understanding that was agreed upon with the Tri-W Corporation. This MOU was signed in October of 2016 and requires two things, which I pulled the quote from the MOU itself. Requires the city to make to make an application to LAFCO for one for annexation of the 27.6 acre wharf site, and then an SOI designation for the 372.4 acre Tri-W property or the remainder parcel. So again, these are stipulations of the MOU. The figure up here just shows the 27.6 acre parcel. Again, that's for purchase for the wharf site there in green, with the larger total parcel of about 400 acres, at which the city would be making application for the sphere of influence change. So this may sound familiar. We were here in January of this year. And council adopted a resolution during the January 22nd City Council meeting, a single resolution, that's resolution number 8-19, which included both of the actions that we're asking for here tonight. Again, the annexation of the 27.6-acre wharf parcel and the SOI designation for the remainder parcel. In talking in recent months with members of LAFCO staff, they recommended that we actually separate these two actions into two separate resolutions to be able to facilitate in moving the project forward. So that's what we're asking for here tonight. So in addition to the resolutions that we're asking you to adopt, we're also asking you to rescind that previous resolution that was made in January of 2019. This graphic here shows we're essentially not asking for anything different. We're just simply taking the resolution that was previously adopted and just splitting it into two separate resolutions. Again, the recommendation here tonight is to adopt resolution 5419 and 5519. I can answer any questions you may have.
Wow. That was quick. Thank you. Appreciate that report, and I'll open it up for any council questions at this time. I'm sorry, soft, Marlis. Thank you.
Okay, I just have a couple very small questions. Just wanted to confirm that if annexation of the 27.6-acre site for the wharf is approved, it becomes part of the city.
That is correct.
So then could you explain what the first sentence of the second paragraph on page 256 means? And I'll read it. For additional information only, prior to LAFCO approving annexation of the South Bay site, the council and city shall be required to enter into a tax sharing agreement to indicate which entity will receive part of the property taxes generated in the future from the South Bay site.
I think that staff could answer that question, or maybe the city attorney. We've discussed this a little bit. It essentially has to do with any revenue generation that would occur on that site. Now, the site is going to be used for the construction of the new water reclamation facility, not anticipating any new revenue generation, but the city attorney or staff.
But it suggests that we would need to negotiate with the county, and wouldn't it be in the city then? So why would we be negotiating with the county is my question.
Currently, the property resides within the county of San Luis Obispo, and they're receiving any tax revenues that are generated on the property.
Right, but this says in the future, so.
In the future, it will be proposed to be annexed by the city. Typically with annexations, you enter, annexations are typically performed for some sort of income generating benefit, either a housing development project, a commercial development, where the property value escalates quite a bit in value. So the county wants to ensure that they're still whole with and not losing any revenue through this transition. So a tax sharing agreement is negotiated between the city, which is annexing the property, and the county, which is losing the property. And they have a certain time where these revenues get shared. This is a little bit different. It's being annexed for public facility purposes. There will be no tax revenue on this process. So I anticipate that this agreement will be a very brief agreement.
Okay, so primarily it's a legal part of...
It's a requirement of the annexation process.
Okay. So it's not anything unusual. Okay, and then... as I understand it, the main reason for separating the two pieces of property has to do primarily with expediting the building of the wharf. Is that, would that be a correct interpretation, that so that if there were any negotiation over the second part, the sphere of influence, that would might take longer over the larger piece of property, we can move forward quickly with the wharf? Is that the main reason why we're separating?
One of the reasons, the primary reason, is there are two separate processes through LAFCO. And okay. To clean up the record, their executive officer recommended two separate actions by our council to support each of the actions that will be taken by LAFCO.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yes, we're being asked to adopt two resolutions. But do we not also have to rescind the previous resolution?
Yes, I believe that's one of the actions in the resolution, is to rescind that resolution.
The resolutions rescind the prior resolution.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that LAFCO's action on the remainder property, which is the larger property, has no bearing on the decision for to approve the annexation of the Wirth property.
No, they're two separate processes, and one is not contingent upon the other.
And the MOU supports what you just said.
The MOU didn't tie the two together.
Okay. All right. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Addis. No questions? Okay. So just to be clear, this is to separate a single action that was taken previously. Nothing has changed with regard to that action. We're separating it by request into two different actions, which basically memorialize the same thing for the benefit of those in LAFCO that have asked for this.
Correct.
Is that okay? Good. Wanted to be clear. Thank you. I have no further questions. With that, I will open it up for public comment. Any members of the public wishing to come forward speaking regarding item C2, please do so now. Welcome, Betty.
Thank you, Betty Winholtz. Before I get into my comments that I already sent to you, my question is, has this been before the Planning Commission? And if not, why not? Because I don't remember ever seeing it on their agenda. And it seems to me, before you give direction, you need to hear from your advisory body. Otherwise, they're having to do what you tell them to do, and they don't have independence. So I'll just throw that question out there. Your reason for taking action tonight is to increase the sphere of influence, as you've discussed, and then also to do the annexation, both of which are items in the MOU, which the Tri-W is assuming that you will do both of these actions. So though they may not be tied together, they're both requirements of the MOU, if you see the MOU as a requirement.
I think it's important for the Morro Bay residents and businesses to understand what an SOI is. So I looked it up on the planning website for the state of California, and quote, the SOI is an important benchmark because it defines the primary area within which urban development is to be encouraged, unquote. So as often and as loudly as the members of this city council have said that we're not interested in development, that's what an SOI is. And as frequently and loudly as the Morro Bay Open Space Alliance declared at their workshop that it's really about trails and open space, that's really dependent on how much development you allow on that property. So I just want you to be clear with the public that this is about development. It isn't just about getting a wharf, the WRF built. I think it's important for residents to understand that an MOU is not binding, so if you, by some chance, would choose not to follow through, that it's merely a promise, and it can be changed or removed, that's possible. And then one last question before I ask you not to vote for this is, if this tax thing, and it really is about this legal technicality that has to be done about not selling or selling a commercial instance, so what if at some point the wastewater treatment plant has reclaimed water that it wants to sell, then does that make it a commercial instance and then the county is going to want some of that tax money?
Thank you, Betty. Public comment is still open for item C-2. Any other members of the public? There you go, Bob. Bob, welcome.
Mayor, council members, staff, Morro Bay citizens. I support this staff report, and I ask the council to move forward with this so that we don't have any more delays with our project WRF. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Public comment is still open. Any members of the public wishing to come forward, please do so now. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. I love your seats.
And good.
When I first talked about seating here, I offered to be the guinea pig and help you figure out what. You didn't take me up on it, but at least we finally have got something. Nancy Bast, I'm a longtime resident of Morro Bay, and I'm curious about the MOU. Why was it not just a simple purchase price agreement? Why did the city have to promise to assist the remainder property to become in the sphere of influence and also to assist in annexation? That's part of it. And another question is, why was the agreement to create access to that previously inaccessible property a part of the MOU? I know that on your closed session agenda a couple months back, you had a meeting with the representative from Tri-W. Is there any agreement that these other conditions have to be fulfilled in order to buy that property? Why were those other conditions put into the MOU is the essence of my question, when really it's just simply about buying the property, not giving them all that advantage to become a developed parcel of land. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Public comment is open. Any members of the public wishing to come forward, please do so now. Seeing none, I will bring it back, close public comment, and bring it back to council and discussion. Who'd like to start us off?
Well, I appreciate this process. I know it wasn't necessarily initiated through us, but I appreciate the clarity of two separate resolutions, I guess it is, and just separating out what's for the wharf and what's the rest of the property that we're annexing. So I'm supportive.
Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Ditto.
Councilmember McPherson.
Yeah, I understand why we're doing it, and it doesn't change anything, so I'm fully supportive.
Yep. I, too, am supportive. This is an action that we've been over on a number of occasions. This is no different than the last approval. It separates it into two different actions for purposes of making this happen according to requests from LAFCO to do it this way. And so with that, I'm in support and will entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt resolutions number 54-19 and 55-19, authoring the filing of two separate applications with the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, to commence proceedings for, one, a sphere of influence designation and annexation of the 27.6-acre property the city will be purchasing from Tri-W Incorporated for the construction and operation of the water reclamation facility, and two, a sphere of influence designation for the remaining portion of the Tri-W property the city is not purchasing, and that, of course, rescinds the prior resolution.
Second.
Councilmember McPherson moved the staff recommendation and the rescinding of the prior approved resolution, and second by Councilmember Davis. And we'll take, unless there's any other discussion, roll call vote.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
Would you like to have the questions answered?
I think we've answered them before, but
have we?
If you have a desire or council has a desire for further discussion, I'd reopen that. Okay. Thank you. I'll move to agenda item C3. This is adoption of resolution 56-19, creating the Morro Bay Public Facilities Corporation, needed to facilitate financing of the WRF and other future capital projects. With that, again, Mr. Livick and Mr. Caceres, you're up. Whoever would like to go.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. No presentation on item C3, just a couple of things to note, and then I'll hand it over to Mr. Neumeyer, the city's attorney, for any questions. We're asking Council to adopt a resolution to allow city to create a corporation for project financing. So why are we doing this now? This is something that is required for the water reclamation facility project. State law provides little authority for cities to incur a loan. Under normal circumstances, incurring debt requires a vote of the people. We have an exception here because this is an enterprise fund project and allows the city to pledge special funds. These funds were authorized through the Prop 218 process to repay repay loans. It helps protect the city if the city were to default on any loans from the WRF project or other capital projects, and it mirrors the city structure in that the board of directors is the city council, the executive director, city manager, treasurer, the finance director, and the secretary, the city clerk. And one last thing is it's consistent with other city bodies as it's subject to the Brown Act.
Great. Thank you for that condensed report. Appreciate that. With that, I will open it up for council questions. Start to my left, Councilmember Addis.
My only question I sent by email, and it was just around how often would this board meet and what are the, you know, general responsibilities. But it sounds like infrequently and before council meetings was the response.
The board would actually meet when it's necessary for it to take action. There needs to be one annual meeting. I would anticipate that the first meeting would be shortly after the articles of incorporation are accepted, assuming the council approves it tonight. And that first meeting would occur to just install officers, to approve bylaws, et cetera, procedural meeting. And then there would be meetings to take action on the WRF plant. Other than that, there would just be an annual meeting. Oh, and also, they would be, of course, subject to Brown Act, and the meetings would be occurring likely on Tuesdays before the council meeting. So the exact same, you know, five members of the city council would be on the board of directors as proposed, and they'd be open meetings when the board meets.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yes, I had some questions about the language in the resolution and in the bylaws. So I conferred with city attorney and city clerk to propose some changes to those, and Dana was sweet enough to print out my proposed revisions, and so I'd like to go over them now, if that's okay.
Do you have a question? I'll let you do it during discussion, if that'd be okay.
Sure.
Maybe during a moment, but unless you have a question.
My question was I didn't quite understand the language, so I revised it, and so I'm happy to do that during discussion.
And I'll start off with you.
Excuse me.
Pardon me. Okay. I had a couple of questions also on this item. With regard to page 297 of the staff report, section 10, I guess maybe that's page 297, section 10, midway through, it says any director may be removed by the board of directors at any regular meeting or at any special meeting of the board of directors, the notice of which, among other things, indicates that the removal of one or more directors identified therein shall be considered at such meeting by reason of such director's commission of any act which tends to discredit the corporation. Mr. City Attorney, could you provide clarity for me about what discredit the corporation means and what kind of acts might constitute that would require removal?
Sure. The intent of that section is to address the fact that every council member, as they're seated, becomes a board member. So if a council member, for example, to commit a criminal act or to be found guilty of, say, embezzlement of funds in some activity outside of the city, then it might call into question the desire for them to continue to serve on this board. And so this would allow the board to remove one of the directors, notwithstanding they still remain on the council. Now, in those circumstances, presumably there would be either state action to remove the council member at some point, or there might be a recall effort. But this certainly can be taken out of this document, or can be rephrased. But that was the intent.
I just didn't know what, if somebody said something bad about the corporation, would that be enough to constitute, you know, discrediting the organization? And
that's
fairly nebulous, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely not the intent. And, because it admittedly could be interpreted ambiguously, then that could just be removed. And okay. I believe Councilmember Davis is suggesting that actually be taken out. And I wanted to point
way
out
ahead
for,
of me.
For the public's sake that the suggested revisions from Councilmember Davis. There are copies on the back table for any members of the public that wants to look at that now.
Perfect. Thank you. Page 299, Councilmember Davis may have gotten this one fixed too. Very top of that page where it talks about under Section 3, which finishes on page 299, the executive director shall be city manager of the city or as a designee, subject to such supervisory powers, if any, as may be given to the board of directors, to the president, and subject to the control of the board of directors. The executive director shall generally supervise, direct, and here's my question, control the business and the officers. I'm wondering what control, which the officers would be the city council, what the intent of that would be, and when would the city manager have the authority to control the city council?
There isn't the intent for the city manager to be actually ordering the city council to do anything. The idea here is that just like today, when the city council develops policy, the city manager will execute it and conduct the business that's consistent with that policy. This corporation is meant to mirror exactly how the city is functioning right now for the wharf project. And so the city manager is supposed to just have that same role. And so that's what that's meant. But again, Councilmember Davis zeroed in on this too as well. And one of the proposed changes is to take out "and the officers."
Okay. Well, he's way ahead of me again. And I appreciate that. And thanks to Ms. Weinholz for bringing that to our attention as well in an email today. And then my last question is, my understanding is this is a vehicle that is required in order for us to receive funding from both the SRF and from WIFIA for our WRF program. And if we did not have this vehicle available, then we would not be able to receive those funds. Is that correct?
This is one of the few options the city has to receive that funding. So it's not the requirement, but it's one of the requirements that allows us to receive the funding. As was previously stated in the staff report, California municipal corporations don't have the authority, or they have very limited authority, to incur debt. If we create a corporation, then that debt can be taken on by the corporation, but it's being set up so the corporation is controlled 100% by the city. And I might point out, too, that any liability or exposure for that debt will be limited just to the corporation. So the city is not exposed to any financial calamity down the road if there were some issues with the funding.
Great. Thank you. No further questions. Councilmember McPherson.
Well, all of my questions have been asked.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. In fact, the first one was, could we make changes tonight? And I believe
like
we can and will. So thank you.
With that, I'll open it up for public comment on this item. Any members of the public wishing to come forward, please do so now. Welcome back, Betty.
Thank you, Betty Winholtz. And thank you, Mr. Davis, for the changes to the document. Before I start my comments on this item, I just want it noted that the two questions I asked on C2, I have never asked before, and they were not addressed. Okay, so regarding C3, I appreciate the clarification that this is not a requirement, but it's a way to get around getting approval from the public for debt. And Morro Bay, over its 55 years, has never had debt up until we did our fire station, and then we agreed to go into debt to build the new fire station. So this is major for our town. It's never happened before, and it makes me nervous. I think it's building a firewall between the residents having say over this project and having the city total control, and so I object to it for that reason. I also am concerned that there is no sunset clause over it. And was there one more question? I'm wondering how much this is similar to a redevelopment agency. We know that what happened to redevelopment agencies by the state. State took them over and took all our money, or not ours because we didn't have one. So at what point would this be subject to something like that if the state decided to take it over?
Thank you. Public comment is open. Any members of the public wishing to come forward, do so now. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you, Mayor. Barry Brannon, Morro Bay. We talk about a firewall between the two. The thing that's always bothered me when I come to the budget meeting every year, the city's budget, is this paragraph or these pages in there of transfer of funds. And I get this feeling, and it's probably not a good feeling, but the feeling that we're moving funds from the enterprise funds into the city's budget and back and forth. And that really concerns me. And when you put this other agency in, are we going to have a separate visible set of books that we can see what this agency is doing, and that we don't have, there's no way the voters can vote these people out. They're basically you, but there's no governance that we can see that the citizens have. So the accounting and the budgets is not clear, and I follow the budget pretty closely, but I don't understand why we're seeing back and forth transfers, and maybe Jennifer someday will be able to explain it to me, but this really concerns me, and I'm putting this firewall up and having the city go to debt. As Betty said, there's no sunset clause on this agency. Will it expire when the loans are paid off, or are we going to continue to, can they go out and borrow more money, and gee whiz, that worked pretty good on the sewer plant. Why don't we go borrow some money to pave the streets? It's kind of like a student loan. You just keep borrowing, the money's easy. Someday you got to pay it off. And if we don't define that payoff date, when are you going to get the house paid for? That's the question that a guy on television says, or on the radio says all the time. Pay off your house. Get rid of your student loans. And this is, I believe, the wrong direction. And I think it can be accomplished another way. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment is still open. Seeing no other members of the public, I'll bring it back and open it up for council discussion. Red, you want to start us off?
Yes, thank you. I have to confess that I got confused somewhat by the wording of this the first time I went through it. So I looked for ways to clarify the wording and make it consistent so that I could understand it. So on the resolution, second page of the resolution, section 6, it lists the board of directors and as the mayor, mayor pro tem, city manager. And I wanted to clarify that also on the board of directors, we will have a treasurer and a secretary, which are offices required by California Corporations Code. And then on the bylaws, again, section 10, I recommended deletion of the last line of about removing a director by reason of such director's commission of any act which tends to discredit the corporation. Is that just didn't seem right. Then in the next page, Article 3 under officers, again, I wanted to be sure that we list all of the officers, president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer in both sections 1 and section 2. And then as the mayor referred to, we removed the power of the city manager to control the officers. We delete that. And then there was a gender clarification on it's
page number, well, section 9.
Yeah, an account of all of his/her transactions, because it could be either gender. But then there was one additional section that I don't have clarification on, and that is the ex officio offices. The city manager shall act ex officio as the executive director, and the finance officer shall act ex officio as the treasurer. And I'm wondering if...
What section are you on?
Article 3, section 1.
Okay.
It's on page 298.
Well, I'm looking at the revised, which...
So, ex officio simply means that they are defined as being members, but it doesn't define their voting rights. So I would just seek clarification.
Sure. Ex officio, the actual legal term here and the way it's meant is that they hold that office by virtue of holding another office. And so what happens is that whoever is the city manager will always be the executive director. And so if the city manager is replaced, the new city manager would fill the executive director spot. Likewise with the finance officer of the city will be the treasurer. And to clarify, the board of directors will be the way it's set up or proposed is going to be the five council members, and those are the only five members of the board of directors because the intent is not to allow the city treasurer, the city manager to have voting rights in the corporation.
Okay.
So the board of directors is the five council members. The rest of the positions are officers.
Okay. So those are my proposed changes to the resolution and to the bylaws, with no changes to the articles of incorporation.
Okay. If you, do you want to make a motion or with those changes? Is that what you'd like to do?
Only if there is no further discussion.
Well, I'll open it up for discussion, and then otherwise I can do it now. I'm happy to do it now. Further discussion on any of the changes?
I agree completely. There are some of the changes that I was going to propose anyway, so I appreciate that Mr. Davis went ahead and did it.
Appreciate that, too. And I'll just bring up now the sunset issue. Did you address that in there? Does this sunset at the time that the debt service is paid off?
No, it's not set up to have a sunset. The debt would likely be paid off anywhere from 35 to 40 years after the loans are issued. This is set up so that if the city council were to decide at a future date that they were going to try to secure another loan like this for some other public works project, then this vehicle would be there to be used. But it's important to note that the only assets that this corporation has are the Prop 218 fees. It has no ability to use the general fund, other funds, you know, any other monies. So it can't take out loans unless they're secured by, you know, some revenue source. And that's what this is for right now.
So just with your comments, I will ask the question. That means that by virtue of our last 218 vote, the only functional oversight that this board would have would be debt incurred for this enterprise fund, and specifically right now we're mainly speaking about the SRF loan and the WIFIA loan.
Yes.
Okay, great. And also it prompted another question. I'll ask many members of the public that want to get educated about transfers in and transfers out to see Ms. Calloway at any time. She'll make an appointment, I'm sure, and be happy to talk to you about that. We have discussed that on a number of occasions, what it means. But do you anticipate, I'll ask this question, any transfers in or transfers out for this entity, or separate books for this entity? A separate accounting, I should say.
I could answer that, at least in regards to what's before the council. The bylaws, Article 5, Section 4, provides for an annual audit. And I'd also like to point out that all of the documents that are generated by this Morro Bay Public Facilities Corporation will be subject to the Public Records Act, like any other document that goes through City Hall. So this is going to mirror the way the City Council and City Hall works right now. It's not going to have it's going to be subject to the Brown Act, the Political Reform Act, the Public Records Act, all of the laws that apply to the City Council and City Hall right now. So the financial documents will be as transparent as any other city document.
Okay, great. Thank you. There are no other comments. I would entertain a motion, Councilmember Davis.
I move that council adopt resolution number 56-19 as amended, with the amended bylaws authorizing the creation of the Morro Bay Public Facilities Corporation.
Second.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Davis, second by Councilmember McPherson. Is everybody clear on the motion to make sure the changes were as we have in the document? Okay.
I would like to clarify.
Sure.
The amendment included the change in the resolution as well, the resolution and the bylaws?
Yeah, you had. Yeah.
Okay. I'm good then. Thank you.
Good.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 401.
Okay, that concludes item C3, leads us to item number C-4. This is adoption of resolution 57-19, approving request for consolidated coastal development permit processing for the Cayucas Sanitary District sewer infrastructure and public lot creation. With that, Cindy, going to be doing this, or you, Rob? Oh, Scott. Sorry. I mean Scott or Cindy, you. Scott, turn it over to you.
Good
No kidding. Thank you, Mayor Hedding, members of council. You have before you this evening a request by the Cayucas Sanitary District for a consolidated coastal development permitting process for infrastructure improvements related to their water reclamation facility and for public lot creation. The CSD as a water project in process. It includes infrastructure related to sewer improvements, and then again public lot creation that cross multiple jurisdictions, meaning county jurisdiction, city jurisdiction, and from the permitting standpoint, these areas are all in the coastal zone and require coastal development permits from would otherwise require coastal development permits from the county. The city of Morro Bay, and part of the improvements would take place in the original jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission. So were they not to go through a consolidated permitting process, they would be required to obtain three separate coastal development permits from three separate agencies. This sort of facilitates their project moving forward. And hence the reason the CSD has submitted the request to the city for the consolidated permitting. As I had indicated, the CSD will be putting in place sewer infrastructure improvements, including lift station improvements, improvements and a conversion of the Chevron load line 2 into an outfall structure for their reclamation facility. And again, as I mentioned, those improvements will extend across multiple jurisdictional boundaries. The public lot creation is sort of necessary to pull this off, as it involves several lots owned by Chevron, or at least two lots owned by Chevron, portions of which cannot be conveyed because of various reasons, including contamination. So they're drawing lines around these to pick up various portions of them. So you're going to be creating a lot 6NE, which is 6 Northeast, 6N, which would cover the Dog Beach area. That'll be important here in a minute, so I'll circle back around to that. Lot 6SW Southwest and Lot 7N. And I have maps of all of these, and you also have that in your packet as well. There'll be a fifth lot. Lot 6W will be created later on by the city. It covers an area where remediation is taking place, and that lot later in the future could be conveyed as well. Here is sort of the map of the existing lot configurations out there now. So what we're talking about is creating public lots on portions of Lot 6. Lot 6 is all of the purple area that you see on the screen, and so covers both sides of Highway 1, and then also breaking up portions of Lot 7 to accommodate the public lot creation. This is what it would be turned into. Again, you have the... I guess maybe I'm going to go back one slide. Would note that the area in Lot 6, the purple that sits on the east side of the highway towards the northern end of that map, is in city. So is within city limits. And then the Dog Beach area is across from that. That Dog Beach area is in the city's is in the sphere of influence, but not in city limits. Becomes important here in a second. So this is the map that shows the proposed lot configurations that the CSD would be creating. So you have 7N, the sort of the inland area. You have that 6NE, or northeast, is the portion that would be located currently within the city, and then 6N would be located outside city limits. Along with this, and in future improvements, that would be to detach Lot 6NE from within city limits, and then have a sphere of influence amendment process through LAFCO to incorporate 6N, eventually accommodating the ability for the city to acquire that through a later property swap. Once CSD purchases the property, Trust for Public Lands would purchase the lots from them, and then city would be able to, and the lot would be able to, the Dog Beach lot would be able to be conveyed to the city. That's just sort of a tie-in to some of the previous conversations you've heard for some of the conservation efforts that are underway related to the Chevron property. That's sort of why I referenced that. 6SW is also one of the lots that's included in the lot creation, public lot creation. That's to the south of the area that was on the previous slide. The Coastal Act, as you're aware, because we're doing the same thing, does have a section of the Coastal Act that allows for consolidated permitting. There are a number of requirements that go along with it, including that the process doesn't inhibit public participation or substantially impair it. It is expected that this item would go before the Coastal Commission likely in August of this year, hence the reason it's on the agenda now, sort of to facilitate that moving forward. The LAFCO process involves, it would be after the Coastal Commission approval of the CDP. LAFCO application would be for detachment of, we would subsequently take that, that's what I was referring to earlier, for lot 6NE, and then the annexation of lot 6W would be also part of the process. The slide also includes some of the referenced preservation efforts around the panorama lot. That's not part of the request that's in front of you. It's just, again, part of the larger conservation effort that we're looking at for the Chevron properties that over there. You've heard us talk about that first row of lots above panorama. When we come back to you making this request for a change in our sphere of influence and for the detachment and future pre-zoning, will include a whole discussion of the panorama lots and that whole process. But that'll be a future effort that comes forward to you. To wrap it up, staff's recommendation is to approve Resolution 57-19, which would allow for a consolidated permitting effort for the CSD. To allow and the public lot creation to allow that to go forward to Coastal Commission with a single CDP as opposed to three separate CDPs. We have representatives from the CSD here, Rick Coons in the audience. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer questions. I'm sure Rick would as well. I think I'll end it there.
Okay. Thank you, Scott, for your presentation and a nice graphic representation of a very difficult swap. That's going on, so I appreciate that. We have seen this a number of times. However, I think it'd be good to vet it. So let's open it up for questions from council. Marla, if you'd like to start.
Sure,
thank you.
Start.
Sure.
My first question, you referred to lift station number 5. Can you tell us exactly where that is located on the map?
The lift station is in that area where the kind of green box is on 6NE, I believe.
So is that on city property, current city property?
It's within the city limits, but on Chevron property and an easement, I believe, maintained by the CSD. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Okay, so it is city property owned by Cayucas.
No, it's not city property. It's inside the city limits.
Excuse me, right.
It's
that's
Chevron
what I
property,
yes, right.
And the CSD has an easement for those improvements.
Right, okay. So the CSD is proposing not using our outfall in the future. Is that part of?
That is the intent of the improvements they're making to their facility.
Okay, so this would, and then this property swap would give control over that property to Cayucas in exchange for
it would take the property swap, which is the property swap would take, which will be a future action by the council that we'll bring back to you, would be the detachment of that lot where the CSD infrastructure sits right now, the lift station.
Right.
And then in the future we would be able to get, because they're creating the public lots out of that larger lot number six, they're breaking it up into several different lots, we would get the piece that's across the highway, which is included in our current sphere of influence and is more commonly known as Dog Beach.
Right. But the action you're asking us to take tonight is just to approve this consolidated permit for Cayucas.
It is to approve the consolidated permit request. And just to sort of tie this in, this is all been happening as part of the larger conservation effort and as part of the CSD's effort to build their water reclamation facility, wastewater treatment plant project. And so they're tied together, and this involves them creating lots so they can purchase those. Eventually some of those lots would end up under city control, that type of thing.
Right. So when would all of these arrangements be finalized? You said it would be coming back to council. So
Yes. I have to bring back items for pre-zoning, for a request and authorization to submit to LAFCO for the detachment and for the future annexation. Those items will all be coming back in the future to council for approval.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Davis, questions, sir?
Yes, Scott, just to clarify on slide number 9, which was entitled LAFCO process, the second line, detachment of lot 6N, that should that actually read 6NE?
You are correct.
Okay,
thank
you. It
should read 6NE. Correct.
Okay. And then the eventual intent will be for City of Morro Bay to own lots 6SW, 6W, and 6N, which are all of the properties from North Point to the mouth of Toro Creek Road west of Highway 1. Those would eventually come be annexed by the city and come under fee ownership as well?
Two of them are inside city limits. The
6SW is, yeah.
And 6W here are inside city limits. 6W is the blue one shown on this slide there and has contamination on it and
right.
cannot convey at this point. Once it's cleaned up, then that would be an opportunity for the city to maintain that, to create the continuous connection, you know, of lots that are in the city and potentially owned by us.
Okay, so, and then that would perpetuate the use of Dog Beach as it is. It has that potential, and would also facilitate the construction of the Morro Bay Cayucas bike and pedestrian connector from North Point to Studio Drive.
This process, as we move forward, would do that as well. Yes.
Okay. Then that's all of my questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Addis.
Is this an initial step to conserving Dog Beach or a parallel process or both?
It's all of those things.
Okay.
it facilitates the CSD being able to move forward with what they need to move forward with. It facilitates some of the preservation concepts that we've been talking about for now a number of years. And so it's a little bit of both of those things. So, yes.
Okay. Oh. And you may not be familiar with this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The Jackson Brown concert in September was publicized in the Tribune as Jackson Brown is coming to put on this benefit concert to help Cayucas buy this land. And so I'm just wondering how that affects Morro Bay's preservation of Dog Beach, or it's just more money somewhere for something.
Don't have a whole lot of information related to that. The Land Conservancy in Cayucas has been part of the land preservation efforts that we've been in long-term discussions with, and so I assume it's part of that, but I haven't spoken with representatives from the Land Conservancy recently about that. So,
great. Thanks. So I had no questions. All the questions have been answered. I appreciate that. With that, I will open up public comment for item C-4. Any members of the public wishing to come forward regarding this item, please do so now. Betty, welcome back.
Thank you, Betty Winholtz. I just have one question, and it seems to me that this process has to happen for Cayucas to do what it's doing with its sewer plant. And I'm wondering, it seems to me that it's an isolation from what we will be doing, which is getting Cayucas out of our property on Atascadero Road. And so that's something that we want, but you're not tying these together to, in essence, get them to come to the table and maybe not ask for so much money when we have to go to ask them to sell their part of the Atascadero property. But this seems to be independent of that, but it seems like it would be a great leverage in terms of that purchase price.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Anybody else for public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to council for consideration and discussion. I'll maybe open it up. Been involved in this for some time. This is part of a kind of a big puzzle. But the item tonight before us is the fact that because we are one of the jurisdictions required for Cayucas to move forward and get a consolidated permit, they need us to sign off on that, exactly like we needed the county to sign off on that in order for us to move directly to the Coastal Commission for our CDP. With that, Cayucas will benefit, I think, significantly in terms of decreasing time and decreasing their costs. It also allows them and facilitates the ability of them to move their outfall to a new location. And in the spirit of improving, say this carefully, relations in the future and in the spirit of partnership with our neighbors, this is something that I think will be beneficial for not only Cayucas, but in the long run will offer the opportunity to preserve certain properties as outlined by Councilmember Davis into perpetuity for maintenance of very important open space for our county, but more specifically also for the city. And so I hope that that's clear. It's really a facilitative process. This is one of the jurisdictions. We're simply approving this, being asked to approve this request so that they can move on and get their consolidated permit moving and go to directly to Coastal. With that, can't really speak to negotiations with regard to decommissioning of the existing plant. I know the question was answered, but that would be outside of the purview and is not really part of the agenda item, but I do appreciate the comment that was made by Ms. Winholtz with that. So with that, I would move approval of staff recommendation. City Council adopt Resolution 57-19 approving the request for consolidated coastal development permit processing for Cayuga Sanitary District and public lot creation.
Second.
So motion by Mayor Heading, second by Councilmember Davis, and I will open it up for further discussion.
Yes, thank you. I find that this transaction is beneficial to both parties, and I agree with Mayor Heading that I want to cooperate and help our neighbor to the north. And I don't think that this, I don't see a nexus between this action and future negotiations over the WWTP. I see that as a completely separate transaction, covered under a separate agreement, and I'm happy to support the resolution.
Further discussion.
I concur. Well said.
I concur, and I just also want to point out that their facility is also a water reclamation facility, and the importance of all of our communities focusing on potable water and reusing water, and that in supporting our partners to the north, we're also, I believe, supporting the region in terms of how we approach our water resiliency on the coast.
Yes, and I wanted to just thank both Scott, and I know Rob's been involved, but also Rick, thank you all for working together to make this happen, and in the spirit of a good positive relationship for the future in terms of things that need to happen between both communities. So with that, we do have a motion and a second. I'll ask for roll call vote.
Mayor Heading.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Addis.
Yes.
And Councilmember McPherson.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
Okay, that completes our business for the evening. We'll move to item D. That's council declaration of future agenda items. Looking left.
Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Addis, first to the button.
Yes. So this is in relation to our city goal of affordable housing and our ability to react and weigh in when there's things at the state or possibly the national level that might specifically benefit housing needs in our community. I know that we get a lot of alerts and action notices from League of Cities or from residents, and I'm constantly sending them forward to Scott to say, can we write a letter? How do we weigh in? How does Morro Bay express our opinion? I'm not always linked with the mayor to ask him to write a letter on our behalf. And if there's any way to do a future agenda item, that could make this easier. So that I'm not sending things up one by one, but that we have some kind of policy in place that allows us to weigh in on legislative items around housing or, you know, other folks might want other things.
Sure. Good point. There is an existing policy that has been codified and approved by council. I don't know the reference number, but I would refer you to that. There is a process that can be utilized. The mayor has the authority for things like requests from League of City. Even though you may not be linked to me, you certainly, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. City Attorney, you can send those directly to me for consideration of moving forward as, you know, something that I could do. If it doesn't fall within my purview, then it has to be agendized and brought forward to council. So my suggestion is maybe you want to take a look at that policy.
I think maybe what Councilmember Addis is referring to is in the instance where we get bombarded with these things, especially during a legislative session, we aren't nimble enough to react. If you have to go get a future agenda item and then you wait 2 more weeks after that, 3 weeks has gone by, maybe longer, and the bill's already been acted upon. So I think maybe what you might be referring to is taking a different approach to creating a legislative platform, where in the head of a legislative session, you outline the policy arenas in which you want to take positions and help facilitate the mayor being able to send letters. If, for instance, you take a position on affordable housing or some other issue, whether pension liabilities, you could say, generally, we support this type of legislation, and then the mayor would be pre-authorized, in essence, to send letters without having to come back to council.
It's covered by the policy. Am I not correct? Am I missing?
So she might want.
Maybe you could clarify. I don't have the policy in front of me.
I believe the policy allows the mayor to write letters in support of items that are consistent with the League of California Cities positions on those issues.
I guess I should be more specific. We heard public comment tonight around writing a letter on affordable housing. It might not necessarily be on the League of Cities. I use League of Cities as an example, but I don't think League of Cities is the only source of possible legislation that we might want to support. So a different example might be the opening up the pipeline down in Santa Barbara that would allow the oil derricks to come back online, and we were able to write a letter, but we had to, you know, do some checking. That didn't come forward from League of Cities necessarily.
Correct.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Please.
The council policies and procedures right now, it allows the mayor to send letters without the full council saying specifically they support that letter if the request for the letter comes from an organization or agency that generally advocates for city interests, and specifically like the California League of Cities. That policy could be expanded to include, you know, general issues that are of interest to the Morro Bay community. You know, it's a double-edged sword. If the mayor is given the authority to issue letters on behalf of the council without asking the council whether that's truly their position, you know, then as the policy provides right now, council can later say we didn't think that letter should be sent. But that being said, the section could be expanded to include more issues than just ones from advocacy groups. In the alternative, it sounds like Councilmember Addis is perhaps proposing the council could possibly in one meeting take some positions on some current issues that are in the air, if you will, whether it's affordable housing, fracking, global warming, ones we haven't addressed, and maybe say that, you know, the city of Morro Bay supports A, B, C, and D. And then when those issues come up, you know, the mayor in his good judgment could say, we've already said that we support this issue, you know, a letter could be sent that the mayor crafts and sends out on behalf of the city council as a body.
Yeah, and you know, beyond that, you could always, you know, send that letter forward to, you know, our state legislature so they know kind of ahead of time where the city stands on specific issues. This is sort of a legislative platform, if you will, that could build upon what Chris has discussed.
So I'll give you my thoughts on it because I'm the one that's going to be involved in writing the letters. So here's my thought, and I'll use a recent example, excuse me, that had to do with a request regarding the pipeline issue and fracking. And, of course, in being asked to write that letter, and I can't remember the organization, a couple of them. Of course, first thing I did was review the council's position on that, which only covered a portion and not completely covered the issue. Therefore, I made the decision that the full council had not weighed in on it, and I was not authorized to do that. However, I wrote a letter on my own as a member of the city council, individually supporting that but not representing the council. My concern would be how to define broad authority over a very broad number of, I think, important issues. And I know time. Your issue is time's of the essence for some of these. That's the problem.
And streamlining your time.
Right.
Like, it's super.
Right.
I'm sure it's time-consuming for staff and time-consuming for you to receive the number of requests.
Yeah.
I forward the ones that are important to me, obviously, but there's a lot that's important to me that I think
Correct.
Morro Bay definitely should be weighing in on, specifically given our position on the coast.
Right. And I appreciate it, and I agree. I think conceptually with what you're trying to agendize or what we're trying to do, perhaps we could have us or have you look at with our city manager the existing policy, potentially craft the kind of language that might be beneficial, and then agendize that. And maybe, would that be okay? Would that be okay? Yeah. Get more clarity and, yeah. And it would help me, too. Hopefully it'll help me, too. That would be great. Is that? Go ahead. I'll let you weigh in on that.
No, I was just wondering if we could do it, since we are talking about going back to the policies and procedure manual anyway, if we could incorporate that into that so that it's a single agenda item when we look at that, and we could just include that as something else that we could look at that time, as opposed to a separate one, since we're going to be looking at for a number of other reasons.
Do we have the review time for that? I'm trying to recall what that might be. We're doing an update of the policies, right?
I'm personally flexible on timing.
Yeah,
I just kind of want to get it out there on the radar.
Great.
And smooth the process out.
Yeah. August 2023.
Okay, 2023?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, August this year. Probably the second meeting.
Are you serious?
No, I'm talking about this year. Yes, August this year, second.
I thought you said 2023. He was kidding. See, he was giving me. He got back at me.
Yeah.
So good. Is that well? If we're all okay and in agreement, we'll incorporate that into the overall review. Good. Thanks for bringing that up. We're with you, Councilmember Davis, sir.
Yes, I would like for the council to consider a position on House Resolution 763, which is a House bill that levies a carbon tax on carbon dioxide producers, and it rebates 100% of the revenue to the American people.
So you'd like to agendize that for us to look at
yep.
future consideration. I would support that. Good? Everybody's good with that? Marlis, any future agenda items?
No.
Oh, okay. And I have none. With that, that concludes our meeting. The next regular meeting of Morro Bay City Council will be held on Tuesday, July the 9th, 2019, 5:30 p.m. at the Veterans Hall, located at 209 Surf Street, Morro Bay, California. Thank you, and good evening.